Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the House of God this morning. Special welcome to the visitors that are here. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. We want to praise you for who you are. The song we just sang, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. We want to worship you today. We want to glorify you. We want to learn from your word. We want to serve you better. Help us to learn how to do that. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, last night I was studying. I had saw that I was on the schedule, and I really hadn't put my head into it a lot. I had ideas that were turning around in my head, and I thought I knew where I was going. And last night, I thought it's time to put this into writing a little bit, get some organized notes together. And I really wasn't too worried about it. And I sat down, and it just didn't fall together. And on the same sheet of paper that I had been keeping notes, there was some other notes, and they just sort of kept popping up first, and I kept, no, I'm not organized on that. I don't know where I'm going on that. I'm not even quite sure what I think of that. And so I kept ignoring that. And then at 10:08, I happened to look at the clock. At 10:08, I said, okay. We'll go with your idea, not mine. I mean, that's kind of what I was praying anyway, and the ironicness of the whole thing kind of struck me, the title of my devotional is The Will of the Father, and I recognize that title, the whole thing that I was fighting with, I'm trying to put my own will into this, and yet I'm asking for God to go with me and to lead me, and yet here I am fighting the very thing that it seems like he keeps bringing up. And so the title of my devotional is The Will of the Father, and I'm going to kind of jump off of the last devotional I would have shared here was, I had talked sort of a quick overview of the Trinity, and I wanted to dig into that just a little bit more in one specific area of that. And so just to recap on that a little bit, on the Trinity, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and it's a singular God. Singular word used there. Genesis 1:26, and God, singular, said, let us, plural, make man in our image. And so in the first chapter in Genesis, we already see something unique going on there. And actually in my notes and in the handouts that I gave in the last devotional, I had a reference that I never turned to. I somehow jumped over it. I saw it afterwards. It's Luke 3:21-22. And it's where Jesus is baptized. And Jesus is in the Jordan River. Jesus, the Son of God, is in the Jordan River. The Holy Spirit descends like a dove. And then the Father speaks from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, and probably the most clear reference in the Bible of three different beings. And then towards the end of my devotional, I would have turned to Revelations, and I might turn there now. Revelations 22, verse 13. I might just read verse 12 as well. And these are, in my Bible, they're red. These are the words of Jesus. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And the most common amongst people that do not believe in a three-in-one God, do not believe in the Trinity, most commonly they do not believe that Jesus is God. And I feel that these verses very clearly, Jesus identifies himself in Luke, in Jesus' baptism, the Father identifies him as his beloved Son in whom he's pleased. In Revelations, Jesus identifies himself as the Alpha and Omega. There's definitely a Godhead. You can't call yourself Alpha and Omega and not be God. He's eternal past, eternal present. And so that's just sort of where we're coming from, or where I'm coming from. And I guess I felt a little bit necessary because of how much some people would attack the Trinity and usually attack Jesus as not being part of the Godhead. So I didn't really go into identifying each of the other parts of the Trinity as being God. And there are some people that would doubt other parts. So I want to, I sort of have 2 points that I want to bring out today. First point is, the Father is the first part of the Trinity. And there's only a couple verses I want to have, and I want to look at them twice, so you might want to keep your finger in some of these. We're going to turn to John 5, 19. Because I want to read the verses, I sort of want to look at it from two different angles. John 5, 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For whatsoever thing he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And the point I want to bring out that is Jesus is doing, it does nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. The Father must somehow be over top of Jesus. There's some kind of authority, there's some kind of structure here where Jesus, as the Son of God, the Alpha and Omega, looks up and does nothing but what the Father tells him to do. I don't know how we can somehow discredit or take away the Father as part of the Godhead. Again, I'm going to come back to that one again. John 6, 27 to 29. Jesus' words again. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Him hath the Father sealed. And it also says there in 29, this is the work of God that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Jesus is the sent one. If I send somebody, I would be the authority. I would be the one over top. The person that is sent is never the top. Otherwise he wouldn't be sent. He would be sending. So there is some kind of authority structure here, and if Jesus, who we've determined is self-identifies himself as the Alpha and Omega, is being sent, there is something over top of him. It's the Father. It's the first part of the Trinity. One more verse yet. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 4 to 6. Ephesians 4, 4 to 6. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There is one God and Father of all. the Father is, the first part of the Trinity is part of the Godhead. The second point that I'd want to bring out, and this is the one that I actually wrestled with just a little bit, because I felt like it was sort of my idea, and maybe my idea sort of became God's idea last night. I hope so. Any feedback on it, feel free to share or to talk to me about, because I didn't really take it out of a commentary or any kind of anyone else's. It's just, as I studied it, I kept coming up with this thought. And again, this is probably why I was a little hesitant. My second point is all lasting inspiration or will comes from the Father. And we're going to go back to John 6. Go back to John 6, 27 and 29, 27 to 29. Verse 29, actually. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." Jesus didn't come with his own ideas, his own plan of salvation, his own thoughts, it wasn't. He came sent from the Father. And now back to John 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For whatsoever things he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." And I wondered a little bit, is this something that just happened on earth? Is this something that Jesus, as the Son of Man, subjected himself to the will of the Father when he had his own flesh in the way and he was just doing his own will? But I don't think so. John 1:1, we don't have to turn there. I think that's all familiar to us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Word is logos, meaning sent. It means the messenger. And even Jesus' words here saying that he was sent by the Father. So this process started before he even came down. He was sent. The idea of Jesus coming to earth was not his idea. It was not the Son's idea. This was the Father's idea, and he is obedient to his Father, to the first part of the Trinity. And I guess I battled with it just a little bit. Am I trying to break down the Trinity too much? And maybe sometimes I still wonder that a little bit. But I do think there is a little something here for us. And I guess the reason that I was a little slow to share it was, first, I didn't really find anyone else's notes similar. Second off, I'm like, well, what does it even matter? God is God. They're all this three in one. Does this even apply? Is this even applicable? There's no point. Like, so we all go home. It's like, oh, so Jesus got his ideas from the Father. What does it matter? And, you know, somewhere around 10 o'clock last night, I'm battling this thing out. I'm like, it doesn't even matter. What's the point? But I think there is something here, and I sort of want to bring it back to us here today. And what about me? What about my will? If Jesus, who had no problem calling himself the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, if Jesus the Son of God does nothing but what the Father tells him to do, where does that leave me? Where does that leave my ideas? And we could probably, no doubt, we could have a whole message, maybe a series of messages on knowing the will of God and what that actually means. And I'm not here to hash that all out. I'd take way more time than what I have this morning. But I think it's important that we understand who God is, that we understand what God wants for us, what God wants even specifically for me. There's things that Jesus did, specific callings to Jesus, even dying on the cross as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done, was his prayer. And that was specific for his calling on his life. If Jesus, the Son of God, would ask that, would subject himself to the Father in that aspect, who am I to think that my will matters or that I really have any right to say it? How arrogant of myself to try to put my own ideas and to say, God, this is actually a pretty good idea. And some of my ideas, I think, are pretty good ideas. I mean, they're not certainly not sinful. They're not bad. They're not, I think God's calling me to this or God's calling me to that. God's calling me for a certain devotional. He must be because I have a pretty good idea. But if it's not God's idea, it's of no value, and it is arrogant that I could think, it's arrogant that you could think that your idea is better than any ideas Jesus could ever come up with. One last reference here in closing. Is Matthew 6, verse 9. This is very familiar to us. We probably all have it memorized. It's the Lord's Prayer, and Jesus, the disciples asked Jesus how to pray. And Jesus is telling them how they ought to pray. And he says, and after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're praying to the Father. And then in verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. When we pray as Jesus asks us to pray, we're praying that God's will is done in earth. And I'd like to interject here as well that we're praying that God's will is done in our lives. God, what do you have for me today? What is your will for my life today? I want to do your will. If the Son of God was so connected to the Father that did nothing but what the Father did, then I better pay a lot of attention to what the Father is asking me to do so that I don't step out of the will of God. So yeah, let's remember to ask God, ask the Father to lead us into His will for our lives, that we can follow Him perfectly. And as I look at some of the interesting things that I study of looking into the Trinity, looking into God, some of it I think sort of follow into that. It's sort of finding out who is God? I think God wants us to try to figure Him out. And it is a very deep subject. God wants us to understand who He is. He wants us to dig to understand who He is so that we can follow Him closely. God bless you all.